I've just given you a bit of an illustration, but hey, here's a little story. A drunken man stumbled along a baptismal service down at the river and immediately proceeded to enter into the water and stood next to the preacher. The preacher, rather than spoil the atmosphere, asks the old drunk, "Are you ready to find Jesus?" The drunk looks back on him and says, "Yes, preacher, I sure am." The minister dunks the fellow under the water and pulled him right back out again. "Have you found Jesus?" the preacher asks. "No, I didn't," says the drunk. The preacher dunks him under for quite a bit longer this time, bringing up, "Have you found Jesus?" "No, I did not, preacher." The preacher by this time is getting a little bit annoyed and goes, "Well, I'm going to get him to find Jesus now," and dunks him under and holds him there for at least 30 seconds. Pulls him back up and says, "Did you find Jesus this time?" "No, I didn't." The drunk says, "Are you sure you lost him right here?" Today we aren't looking for Jesus in the water. So why do we dunk people into the water? I take a bath, I go swimming, went surfing with Marcel and my son yesterday. I got baptized lots of times. What's the difference? Why is this so different? What makes it so important? Because next weekend, we have an historical event for every person of their faith in Jesus Christ. It's an historical event because, like myself, I remember what Christ has done for me. It's something I can draw back on. It's something that I can engage in when I'm having a bad time. It's somewhere I can go, "You know what? I'm saved. I know." Something significant about this process called baptism. And baptism happens today because of what Jesus said just before he went to give. Excuse my language this morning. I don't know what's going on. I know you're used to it. I tend to mumble a bit, but I'll get there. "Go and make disciples," the Bible says. Let's stick it up there, that first overhead. Next one. What happened to the scripture? It's gone. Oh, therefore. "Therefore, go and what? Make disciples of all nations." What does it say next? "Baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit." And you know what? Because we believe in so many different things in our society, we always finish, when we do church, when we baptize people, I know there's a number of children getting baptized, and Pastor Charlie tells me some adults as well. And I'm hoping after today, more adults will recognize the significance of this event. Because "Go and make disciples and baptizing them in my name, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and into the name of the Lord Jesus Christ." We're not baptizing, we are making sure that you're getting baptized into the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and his name will prevail through your life. And so John the Baptist, in fact, this is how powerful and important baptism is. John the Baptist, in fact, did prepare the way for Jesus. In this area. But even so, Jesus made it clear that being his disciple and baptism go hand in hand, which I'm going to look at a little bit with you this morning. But let's read the scripture one more time. Matthew 28, the Great Commission. "Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit." Now this verse starts with "therefore." Therefore go. Therefore go. Go and do what? Go and make disciples. How do we go and make disciples? Baptizing them in my name. Jesus told his disciples that he had been given complete authority in heaven and on earth, and therefore go, therefore baptize. We are called as his disciples to go and baptize. Surely it makes sense to be baptized ourselves. If we are called to go and make disciples and baptize, surely it makes sense that we ourselves are go through the waters of baptism. Baptism was something that Jesus instructed us to do. And I don't know about you, but I want to obey my Lord, our Savior. This is so vital. So I want to give you a picture. We've got about three or four pictures. The first one is the flood. So Let me read to you 1 Peter 3:20, the Message Bible. You know, even though God waited patiently all the days that Noah built his ship, only a few were saved then. Eight, to be exact, saved from the water by the water. I think it comes in, clicks in now, the scripture. The waters of baptism do that for you, not by washing away dirt from your skin, but by presenting you through Jesus' resurrection before God with a clear conscience. Jesus, and then it goes on to say this, Jesus has the last word on everything and everyone. From angels to armies, he's standing right alongside God, and what he says goes. What he says goes. Did Jesus want us to be baptized? He did. So if we're going to be his disciple, what happens? We get baptized. That's how important this thing is. And so let me talk about this from the flood perspective. The flood is a picture of baptism. And the eight people on board the ark knew that they were different from the other people in the world. They were saved because they believed what God had said would happen. And the wickedness of the people was gone, and hence the picture I found, and it was a fresh start, a new beginning, the old was gone. Obviously that's an analogy too of baptism, a picture of what baptism is. Now I want to look at, I've got some vegetables. Show just the veggies for us this morning, Danielle. Here we go, we've got some market vegetables. Now the Greek word, this is like the second picture, if you like, from the New Testament, because it's in the Greek, bapto and baptizo. So I want to talk about these this morning. The clearest example that shows the meaning of baptizo is a text from the Greek poet and physician, Nisander, who lived around 200 BC. It is a recipe for making pickles. So you're going to learn how to make pickles this morning as well. Yeah, you just don't come to church. Anyway, it is a recipe for making pickles, and it's helpful because it uses both words, bapto and baptizo. Nisander says that in order to make a great pickle, who likes their pickles? In order to make a great pickle, the vegetable should be first dipped, bapto, dipped in boiling water, and then baptizo in a vinegar solution. Both verbs concern the immersing of vegetables in a solution. But the first is temporary. The second, the act of baptizing the vegetable, produces a permanent change. He that believes in his and is baptized, Mark 16:16 says, shall be saved. So baptizo in the New Testament refers to our union and identification with Christ. It's like you can know when you're half dead on a road. I don't know if actually Marcel was baptized, but let's just say he was. And you know, he's lying there and there's no help. You know what? I know that God is for me. Because you can picture back, as we're giving you pictures today, you can picture back to that moment. You can know when things are shaky, when you're not sure where your faith is at, you can go, I've been baptized. I know that I know. So, let's have a look at the pickles. We've got some pickles here. The pickles, the jars. See, what baptizo is, what Jesus is saying is this. You've got bapto, we've got baptizo, because we're talking about being fully immersed. Baptizo, like in the vinegar solution. Who loves the pickle? The end result. Man, it's incredible. But that's like a huge day. It takes days of being in that solution. You got the point. Jesus is saying that mere intellectual assent is not enough. There must be a union with him, a real change, like the vegetable to the pickle. Let me give you another illustration this morning. The picture of the Red Sea. Remember Remember our history, friends, and be warned. All our ancestors were led by the providential cloud and taken miraculously through the sea. They went through the waters in a baptism like ours. Now that's in 1 Corinthians 10 verse 1. By crossing the Red Sea, many were taking effect. Many things, sorry, were taking effect. I think I missed out a word. And so they had to trust God. Something about going through waters of baptism where you're actually at the mercy of God. You've got to trust Him. They were leaving their past behind. I don't know about you, but if I was these guys, I'd be certainly glad that I didn't have to get chased any longer by all that, and be bound up. And it's also, isn't it, a picture of our sin. We know that our sin has been taken care of. They had a new future, but it was unknown. Isn't it great when we just trust God and we know that God works it out in our life? We don't have to know all the answers. We don't have to rely on ourselves. They were leaving slavery. What do? We leave our sin behind in the grave. Just like that. It's a new beginning. We have a brand new life. We may not know exactly where God's going to take us, but I tell you, it's going to work out just fine. They were becoming warriors. They were being able to stand. You know what? Imagine the faith these guys had when the waters came back in and the Egyptians were no longer. My goodness, it actually helps bring a whole nother level of our faith and understanding in what God is for us, and He's never against us. And the past leader over them had died. He was done away with. Now they had a new leader. Let me tell you another story. There was this footballer, National Gridiron League, called Pat Summerall, who spent 50 years with the... That was his work, as well as being a player, first of all. And he was drafted from the Detroit Lions in 1952 and played with the Chicago Cardinals until 1961. After his retirement from the game, he joined Fox Broadcasting. We all know Fox, right? In his time with Fox, he partied hard. That was his words. He says, "I was the first guy at the bar and the last to leave." Summerall, because of obviously his drinking, was told by his doctor that if he kept on drinking, he was going to die. After checking himself into the Betty Ford Clinic, his counselor urged him to find faith. And at 66 years of age, Pat finally was baptized. He told a reporter this is what happened. "When the minister leaned me back in the water, I never felt so helpless." Summerall testified, "I knew I just became a Christian. I can't tell you how great life has been since then." There would have been helpless feelings when the Israelites walked through the waters, seeing their past come back after them. But when they came up out of the water and the waters rushed back, they had a brand new life and a brand new land. I want to put a picture up of an elderly gent that Renska and Sue and myself baptized. He's an elderly gentleman. Here he is. He wouldn't tell us how old he was. He was old. He's smiling. And this is in the North Atlantic Ocean in March this year. And I want to read this scripture. You can just keep that up for a moment. It doesn't really matter how old you are. It matters that we obey Christ, yeah? This guy, he was beaming from ear to ear because now he had an opportunity, because in where they live, in their country, they're also scared of the water. So they were so glad that we were able to do this for them. Colossians 2:11 in the Message Bible, it says this: "Entering into his fullness is not something you figure out or achieve. It's not a matter of being circumcised or keeping a long list of laws. No, you're already insiders. Not through some secretive initiation rite, but rather through what Christ has already gone through for you, destroying the power of sin. If it's an initiation rite you're after, you've already been through it by submitting to baptism. Going under the water was a burial of your old life. Coming up out of it was resurrection. God raising you from the dead as he did Christ. A machinist of the Ford Motor Company in Detroit responded to an invitation to a church service and was baptized soon after. As the Holy Spirit began renewing this man, he became convicted of his need to make restitution for some parts and tools he had stolen from the company prior to becoming a Christian. So the next morning, he brought all the tools and parts back to his employer. He explained how he had just been baptized and asked for his foreman's forgiveness. This was such an amazing turn of events that Mr. Ford, who was visiting a plant in Europe at the time, was cabled with the details of the matter and asked for a response. Mr. Ford immediately returned a cable with a decision: dam up the Detroit River and baptize the entire city. Give you another scripture this morning from Romans 6, 1 to 4. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Or do you know that as many as you were baptized in Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Jesus Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life. And so the waters of baptism are that perfect picture of our grave, where we go through the grave of sin, of our old life. And we can know God. We can actually have been going to church for a long time. But you've actually never actually done the physical act of actually, you know what? I am going to actually be like Jesus. I am going to go into the grave of my sin, and I'm so glad that Jesus did it for me, so that, you know, it doesn't matter if I'm going to sin again. Who knows that you're not? It's not that you're going to be perfect, but you know that you know that when you come up out of those waters, you have his resurrection life. Let me read to you another scripture. Then Jesus went from Galilee to the Jordan River to be baptized by John. So not only do we have all these other examples, but now we have Jesus being baptized by John. Was arguing with him. You should be baptizing me. But Jesus went to the river to be baptized by John the Baptist. But John didn't want to be baptized by him. The scripture goes on. I am the one who needs to be baptized by you. So why are you coming to me? And Jesus said, it must be done because we must do everything that is right. That's what he said. It must be done because we must do everything that is right. Jesus was the Son of God, the Messiah, the Anointed One, perfect and without sin. Yet he chose to be baptized by John. Why? Because it was the right thing to do. And there are pivotal moments in our walk with God which we can draw on. Pictures we recognize that help consolidate our life in God. I was an adult Connect group leader before I came and planted this church. And there was a lady that asked if I could baptize her, because I was also a trainee pastor back in those days. And so we had a baptismal font at the front of the church. This is at C3 Hepburn Heights. Or it might have been in the old building, actually, in Balga. And anyway, there was a font like a pool that would basically be uncovered here. And so I was helping baptize people when it came to this particular lady. I remember it was quite an electric moment. You could feel the presence and power of God. She'd actually given her heart to Christ a long time ago. She'd actually come from another country. I'd never actually gone through the waters of baptism. But what I didn't find out till afterwards was quite remarkable. Because as she went through the waters of baptism, you know, the grave of sin and all that, all those pictures I've given you this morning, and she come up, and you could tell that she'd had a complete, like, deliverance, transformation in her life. She rang me a few days later. She says, I've just been to the doctor. And I had very serious condition. I actually had Crohn's disease. And they can't find it anymore. They can't find it anymore. And I know that when I obeyed God and went through the waters of baptism, when I came up, it was like, God just delivered me, Nigel. I'm healed. I'm totally set free. Yeah, these, I'm not, not maybe not 100% her words, but you get the odd. And what a powerful thing. I don't know about you, but I just we've got to trust God with our life. Baptism, when we trust God, we give God every opportunity to do what he wants to do. Something remarkable may happen. But at least let's do what Jesus says and do the right thing. There's definitely an encounter with the Holy Spirit when you get baptized. You go up a whole nother level. Why is that? I think it's because we're showing that we want to be totally obedient to our Master, the Lord Jesus. So I want to finish this morning with the picture of Jesus as John the Baptist in the waters of baptism, which you see there. As Jesus came, this is the scripture. I may have the scripture for this, actually. I don't know if I'd put it up or not. But as Jesus came up out of the water, the heavens were opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and settling on him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my beloved Son, and I am fully pleased with him." When we go through the waters of baptism, there is a transaction from the spiritual realm, from God himself, and he says, "You know what? AJ, I am so pleased with you. Jared, I am so accept you for who you are. You might be a little bit different to some other kids, but I love you just the same." And you know what? You know what, Brianna? I'm so pleased that you've done this. And just as Jesus went through the waters of baptism, what happened? You think, why is that? Why is that? The Father, the Spirit of God descended and said, you're accepted, you're loved, and I'm pleased with you. And we hold that the rest of our life. The rest of our life. This is my beloved Son, and I am fully pleased with him. This is my beloved daughter, and I am fully pleased with her. This is my beloved son, whoever it is, whoever's going through the waters of baptism next week, and I am fully, fully ecstatic about your decision to follow me wholeheartedly. At baptism, he accepts you, loves you, he's well pleased with you. And it's the right thing to do. There's one other thing. You don't want to discount the miraculous in your life. Just like the Red Sea. Just like the story of the flood. There was deliverance, there was healing. My friend, young lady friend that used to be part of my connect group, totally transformed her life. There's something significant about obeying the Word of God in this area. Jesus himself did it because, as he said, it is the right thing to do. And so Matthew 28, where Jesus, just before he goes to heaven, just before he's about to leave on this earth, that's why he says, "Go therefore and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son out of the Holy Spirit. So Father, today, I pray that together we would recognize, Lord, the significance and the pivotal moment it is when we give our, when we go through the waters of baptism. Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you that your promises are yes and amen. I thank you that what you say goes. And Lord, as we follow you in this area, Lord, as we're your disciples, we simply obey your word and become baptized. Father, I pray, let every person, Father, in this auditorium that wants to be your disciple, Father, I pray the Holy Spirit on their life. I pray a revelation from heaven. I thank you, Lord, that your word is clear and that we are to be baptized and transformed by your Holy Spirit, just as Jesus was. The people of God said, amen, amen. Fantastic. Why don't we stand to our feet? Let's sing a song this morning to finish. If you want to be baptized next weekend, it's not too late. It's a significant thing. Would you please see Pastor Charlie? Pastor Charlie, just give everyone a wave. Please see Pastor Charlie. Directly we've sung this song. And let's enjoy God together and the family of God in this way. I'm looking forward to being in the river with you after church next week.